Well, I'll be walking the hallways and put my head in every once in a while and make sure I can still lose me. Oh, no problem at all.
I heard that.
I just feel like I'm not here for much.
I heard that, that's your name. They hired the accountant already?
I guess so.
Wow.
Must be going on for a couple
months. Well, good morning, bright and early risers. Welcome to our session. My name is Annette Snyder. I'm a member of the Black Caucus of Health Workers who are sponsoring this scientific session. We're glad to have you here and our three presenters. And I will introduce them to you. Ms. Kimberly Thomas is from the FDA Office of Women's Health, and she works in the health communications and outreach area. Our second presenter is Dr. Deborah Murphy from Houston Tillotson University in Austin, Texas, and she is there in the Department of Psychology. And Dr. Chandak Ghosh is from HRSA's office in New York, and he works in the Office of Performance and Evaluation.
Performance Review.
Performance Review, I'm sorry. I can't read my writing. Office of Performance Review. So we'll go ahead and get started so that we can finish on time and have plenty of time for questions and answers. Ms. Thomas?
A little short here. Good morning, everyone. Can you help me actually do the... We have no assistance. Okay. I am going to talk a little bit today about a public health education campaign that's run by the FDA Office of Women's Health. Oh, thank you. Yes. Great. All right. As a health educator with the FDA Office of Women's Health, I primarily work to fulfill our mission to disseminate FDA consumer health information, and my efforts are coordinated through our Take Time to Care program. The Take Time to Care program was launched in 1998 to disseminate easy-to-read health information to consumers through outreach partnerships with local organizations and national organizations in industry. The campaign started with a focus on safe medication use, but it has since expanded to include a variety of women's health topics, including diabetes, menopause, and mammography, which I'll talk about today. Now, through Take Time to Care, we try to target women as users of FDA-regulated products, as decision makers for the family in terms of medical decisions, as well as community leaders and advocates. Now, we primarily do this through partnerships. OWH uses a network of national and community-based organizations to get our information in the hands of women. Our stakeholders told us that if we developed reliable information, they would disseminate the information to their patients, to their members, to their communities. And this is the strategy that we continue to use today. We partner with a range of organizations, from health professional groups to religious institutions to hospitals, clinics, employers, and FDA-regulated industries. Now, in line with our outreach strategy, FDA launched the Pink Ribbon Sunday Initiative to partner with churches and other places of worship to educate African American and Hispanic women about the use of mammography as an early breast cancer detection tool. The first campaign was conducted in Houston, Texas, in partnership with the local American Cancer Society, but it has since expanded nationwide. And through the rest of this presentation, I will tell you a little bit about the methods and history of Pink Ribbon Sunday. Now, a lot of you may understand that mammography is important, but you want to know, why did the FDA choose to focus on African American and Hispanic women? Now, African American women have the highest breast cancer rate of all, death rate of all races. The rate for Black women is 33.5 per 100,000, compared to 15.8 for Hispanic women, 24.4 for white women, and 12.6 for Asian Pacific Islander women. Now, while the death rates can be contributed to many factors, lack of screening is key. Lack of screening can lead to later diagnosis, later entry into treatment, and even increased mortality. According to the CDC, mammography screening can reduce mortality from breast cancer approximately 20-35% in women age 50 to 69, and approximately 20% in women age 40 to 49. Now, given the importance of screening, low screening levels among Black and Hispanic women are particularly disturbing. Historically, minority women have been less likely to get screened for breast cancer. It's been reported that women who are immigrants, those with lower incomes, with less education, without health insurance, and those lacking a usual health care provider are less likely to get mammography screenings. In 1987, only 24% of African American women and 19% of Hispanic women over age 40 reported having a mammogram. In 1994, the rates were up to 64 and 52% respectively, but by 2003, there was some good news. The numbers for African American women had reached equal that of white women at 70%, and for Hispanic women, it was 65%. However, in this next slide, you will see that between 2003 and 2005, we saw a change in the trend. According to the 2007 update for the NCI Cancer Trends Report, there was a statistically significant drop from 2003 to 2005 in the percentage of all women of all races who reported having a mammogram in the past 2 years. When you look at Black and Hispanic women, you see similar trends. For Hispanic women, there was a drop from 65 to 59%, and for Black women, there was a drop from 70 to 65%. Even though these drops weren't statistically significant, they still are important. They let us know that we still need to do a lot of outreach to promote screening. Now, given this importance of screening, some of you may be thinking, why is the FDA focusing on mammography? Many people are not aware that the FDA certifies and inspects all mammography facilities in the U.S. In 1994, Congress passed the Mammography Quality Standards Act to ensure that all mammography facilities adhere to the same standards. So FDA inspects mammography facilities in a variety of locations, in clinics, in hospitals, in doctor's offices, and mammography vans. And we try to educate people that they should look for a MQSA certificate with a valid expiration date in each mammography facility. Now, to raise awareness about the certified facilities and to let women know about the importance of mammography, FDA reached out to churches. Now, the Pink Ribbon Sunday campaign targets churches because religious institutions are a source of spiritual and economic support for minority communities. Most women of color attend religious services, especially during health crises, for comfort and guidance, and over 180 million Americans attend a place of worship. The messages for Pink Ribbon Sunday were simple. Early detection saves lives. We try to educate the women that early detection offers the best chance for successful treatment, that mammography can find lumps before you show symptoms, that mammography can sometimes find lumps that are too small for you to feel with your hand. Now, the campaign worked by letting church leaders and their members develop and conduct their own programs. The churches assume ownership while we provide the materials and the technical support. This way, the church leaders can tailor the activities to the unique etiquette and needs of their communities. Now, the participating churches received a how-to guide and a toolkit from us to help them organize their activities. This slide shows the original Pink Ribbon Sunday guide in both English and in Spanish. But this year, we have started a process to update the guide to make it more comprehensive and inclusive. The tagline has been changed to Pink Ribbon Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, etc. And this change was done to include a variety of different types of religious faiths and practices. It emphasizes that the activities do not necessarily have to be held on Sunday and that people can structure them to fit the needs of their particular communities. The structure of the guide is also being changed to improve the steps and strategies for organizing Pink Ribbon Sunday activities. We tend to provide them with 5 simple steps for organizing their activities, encourage them to get support from the church leadership, to choose an activity and start planning, to spread the word amongst the community and the parishioners, to implement the program, and to conduct follow-up. The guide provides strategies and examples for each of these steps, and it also includes a what you should know about mammography section and tips for identifying local resources. The participating churches receive access to free consumer materials from our office, and I have put some examples in the back. These fact sheets are available in English and Spanish, and the Spanish materials have been translated in such a way that they are understandable by Spanish speakers from a variety of different regions and cultures. All of the materials are written in an easy-to-read format, and we have a literacy specialist on hand who tries to ensure that all of our materials are written between the 4th to 7th grade reading level. Now, as I mentioned in the beginning, the first mammography awareness program was started by a field staffer. Throughout the development of Pink Ribbon Sunday, OWH has continued to rely on field staffers to do the work with the churches. The field staffers in FDA regional offices and district offices throughout the country, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands provide technical support to the churches. OWH provides the field staff with training and with financial support to conduct research. We provide them with ready-made slides and talking points to make it easier for them to conduct presentations. And we also provide them with unlimited access to our materials and to our exhibits for use in their outreach events. The field staff enable us to be in many more places than we would be able to do with our limited national staff. Now, here is some examples of Pink Ribbon Sunday activities that have been organized around the country. People have conducted health fairs, mobile mammography events, support groups, and they've even done concerts and pink ribbon tea parties. The program has reached over 100,000 women across the country. Programs have been held in Houston and Dallas, Atlanta, D.C. We also did an island-wide celebration in Puerto Rico where we had 1,600 churches participating. We partnered with national organizations such as the U.S. Conference on Mayors and with industry like Integris Health, who sponsored events in Oklahoma. Here are just some examples of activities that have been held over the years. This was done in Texas, and here's a sample of a Spanish language poster that we've used. Here is a press release and an invitation for events that were held in Atlanta in 2000. So throughout the years, Pink Ribbon Sunday has been a very effective and creative strategy that has allowed us to spread the message about mammography to African American and Hispanic women. And we will continue to use this strategy. We're continuing to update the program, but we invite you to collaborate with us. Here are some websites where you can get information about collaborating with the FDA Office of Women's Health or about accessing our free English and Spanish language materials. So with that, I will end there.
Here.